Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is part two of this week's clinical focus on colon cancer. And in part one, we talked a little bit about the causation of colon cancer. We also talked about new tests and ways of screening for colon cancer. So if you haven't heard it yet, please refer to part one by way of introduction to this part. In this part, we're going to focus on strategies for prevention and both primary and secondary prevention of colon cancer. Secondary prevention means, you know, if it's occurred already and you want to make sure it doesn't come back, how to prevent it from recurring. Primary means preventing it from happening in the first place. So we actually introduced one of the themes for part two in part one, where we talked about the studies by the Garlands, two brothers at University of California, San Diego, who discovered that the amount of sunlight that you're exposed to has to do with your risk of colon cancer. And indeed, according to the Journal of the American Medical Association, a study of more than 3,000 people showed a strong correlation between vitamin D and calcium intake and the reduction of colon cancer. So whether calcium is an essential part of that, I think, is a little less clear, but calcium may exert anti-cancer effects when it comes to colon cancer, but certainly vitamin D does. And for my patients who have colon cancer, every patient that I've seen, virtually all of them have low levels of vitamin D, and we boost them by giving patients as much as 5 or sometimes 10,000 international units of vitamin D, testing them all the while to make sure that they don't get toxic with vitamin D. I think it's important to state that up front. Okay, what else can be helpful? Well, probiotics may be helpful, at least from a theoretical standpoint, the idea being that if you have an overgrowth of harmful bacteria intestinally, that these harmful bacteria may exert a pro-inflammatory effect in the intestinal tract. We know that chronic inflammation is something which promotes colon cancer. In patients who have ulcerative colitis who suffer from visible inflammation in their colon walls, they're often at much higher risk for colon cancer. Even if their disease is somewhat controlled, the microscopic chronic infection that persists is of concern. And even after, quote, putting colon ulcerative colitis into remission, we have to do more frequent colonoscopies to make sure that cancer is not arising. So probiotics normalize the balance of bacteria in the intestinal tract. They may have an impact on inflammation. And there are actually some studies that suggest that taking aspirin may prevent colon cancer. Aspirin is just a good old-fashioned natural anti-inflammatory, originally derived from tree bark, and is one of nature's gifts to man. We've standardized it with chemical processing. It was one of the first patent medications used for pain and headaches, and it has anti-inflammatory effects. And you know, if you're at high risk for colon cancer, you may consider taking aspirin for prevention. But there are other natural anti-inflammatories. Curcumin is one of my favorites. It is a powerful phytochemical that's found in turmeric, a kitchen spice, and it inhibits inflammation, and it also helps cells to properly differentiate and die off. In the intestinal tract, constantly there's a turnover of cells, very quick turnover, like on the surface of the skin or the way that your hair grows and falls out. These cells are constantly turning over, and they have to grow, live, and then die. And if they don't die, if they immortalize, then they can become cancer. And the curcumin and certain other natural substances have the effect of promoting apoptosis, which is the natural cell death. You may say, well, something that promotes cell death, that's poison. No, actually, it's good, because an immortal cell that lives forever is something that can proliferate into cancer. So that's one of the functions of curcumin. I generally recommend curcumin as part of an anti-cancer program. Also, one might consider boswellin, which is an extract of frankincense, which also is used for joint problems and pain problems, but can have an anti-cancer effect. Those are promising agents against cancer. Another one that I like is, of course, aged garlic extract. We recently talked about that in a podcast with Matthew Budoff, who's a researcher, but he looks at cardiovascular disease, and he found real benefits of taking some chiolic aged garlic extract for preventing the progression of atherosclerosis. Well, there are ancillary benefits, particularly when it comes to cancer, and we know that consumption of the allium species, garlic and onions, that these actually may contain substances that protect the gastrointestinal tract. And a recent study featured in the Journal of Nutrition showed that aged garlic extract has potential in suppressing tumor formation and inhibiting the proliferation of blood vessels, it's called angiogenesis, in colorectal cancer. So other studies have demonstrated that just good old-fashioned garlic consumption provides a protective effect against colon cancer. I consider aged garlic extract an amped-up version of natural garlic. I mean, yes, dietary garlic and onions, that's fine, and leeks, the same family, but you can get an additional insurance policy by taking aged garlic extract. From a dietary standpoint, proanthocyanidins are helpful. Those are things from blueberries. You can also get, and purplish fruit, you can also get proanthocyanidins from pycnogenol. Pycnogenol is a source of proanthocyanidins, as well as what are called OPCs, which are grapeseed extract. They appear in animal studies, at least, to have an ability to protect against colon cancer development. I also like to tell people to consume flaxseed or take concentrated flax lignans in capsules. The product that I like to use is called Breveil, particularly helpful against prostate cancer and breast cancer, but also against colon cancer. This is a non-hormonal cancer, but flaxseed, first of all, it's a good natural fiber laxative, but also the lignans may have an anti-inflammatory effect. So in a way that synergizes with aspirin to reduce the inflammation. Now we come to a controversial nutrient, which is folic acid. And some studies have shown a modest reduction in colon cancer death among people who consumed a multivitamin containing folic acid. But there's been some controversy raised recently. That's because it is thought that while folic acid may prevent cancer from forming in the first place, it has a dual effect, is that once cancer is there, it may stoke the growth, promote the growth of cancer. And so, you know, depending on where you're at in the cancer cycle, I guess you could take a multivitamin with folic acid, that's okay. But if cancer were to be growing or present, I generally recommend against folic acid. It is now thought that methylated folate is preferable to folic acid from the standpoint of cancer, because it will act mostly as a cancer preventive. Nonetheless, when I have patients who have active cancer, when cancer is still present, I suggest that they avoid folic acid and many of the B vitamins. This is controversial. I know that some people just say take a multivitamin, take a B complex, but I'm concerned that folic acid may be a cancer promoter once cancer has already developed. And I think, you know, more studies need to be done to get at the truth of that hypothesis. Green tea. Well, green tea and even black tea has been demonstrated to be preventive against colon cancer in test tube studies and in animal studies. There was recently a review article that appeared in a journal called Carcinogenesis that concluded that the evidence that it protects against colon cancer in humans is not conclusive. However, I really think that there's a lot of potential for green tea and gastrointestinal cancers. Its benefits in cancer were first discovered in China, where there was a high incidence of esophageal cancer due to poor nutrition and the use of very carcinogenic pickles and smoking. And it was found that the combination of those pickles and smoking produced enormous incidence of esophageal cancer, but that in individuals who drank a lot of green tea, 6 to 8 cups or more, that they had a very substantial protection against colon cancer. So the esophagus, not too far removed from the colon, it's gastrointestinal tissue, and so I still believe that green tea and EGCG are important, and they've been part of my program for a long time in terms of prevention of colon cancer. Also, cabbage family extracts have been used, both indole-3-carbinol or I3C. It's found in cruciferous vegetables and can inhibit proliferation of colon cancer cells. And another one I like is SGS, sulforaphane glucosinolate. That's present in a product that we sell on our website called Brocco Max. And the research comes from Johns Hopkins. A guy named Paul Talalay developed a type of broccoli sprout that was very rich in sulforaphane glucosinolate, which is a potent cancer fighter, a little different than I3C. They're both present in cruciferous vegetables. They have different characteristics, and they synergize well to prevent cancer. Melatonin. Well, you know, we're seeing an epidemic of certain types of cancers that are associated with our use of incandescent and artificial lights. And it is thought that in the darkness, your body makes more melatonin. Well, we have precious little darkness anymore. Even our rooms at night are sometimes illuminated or partially illuminated. You know, you fall asleep to TV or your computer's on or there's lights from the city, a lot of light pollution. So you don't really shut off your light sensors in your body, and your body produces less melatonin. And many studies have demonstrated that melatonin shows promise against colon cancer. It's definitely effective in prostate cancer and in breast cancer, and I would recommend a high dose, not just a, you know, help you fall asleep dose, which would be 1 to 3 milligrams, but I use an oncologic dose in colon cancer, 20 milligrams, and you might think, oh my goodness, I'd never wake up. It's going to knock me out forever. Well, it doesn't turn out that way. It actually reaches a threshold and doesn't over-sedate you generally, although just a small percentage of people are sensitive to high-dose melatonin. They feel hungover. Mushroom extracts are helpful. There's been research on maitake mushrooms, reishi mushrooms, cordyceps, and others. They contain polysaccharides that stimulate the immune system. And my favorite that I use is AHCC. It's a product from Japan. Virtually every cancer patient in Japan gets AHCC, and although it's a natural product, it's a derivative of fungal fermentation. It is actually underwritten by the government there. The government pays for this as a nutraceutical that's an adjunct to support the immune system during conventional cancer therapies like chemo and radiation. So AHCC, great immune booster. I recommend it, or consider various types of mushroom support, because that will help to keep the immune system robust. Omega-3 fatty acids. Well, they are anti-inflammatory, so that could be at least one mechanism by which they work. It also seems that cancer proliferates less rapidly in people who have high levels of omega-3 fatty acids. Cancer cachexia, or the wasting that occurs with advanced cancer, seems to be slowed by omega-3 fatty acids. And this word apoptosis appears once again with omega-3 fatty acids, as it did with curcumin. The omega-3 fatty acids, adequate amounts, encourage a balanced cell growth and natural turnover of cells, so that the cells ultimately die to make way for new cells rather than immortalizing and becoming cancer. So the omega-3 fatty acids, I think, are part of the equation. There's some evidence that quercetin may exert anti-cancer effects as well. Quercetin is a bioflavonoid, and it is something that can be used for inflammation, but also has a beneficial effect on colon cancer cells. Selenium, it may be an important one, although results in a recent selenium trial in prostate cancer were a little disappointing. Selenium, in a study at the University of Arizona that made a big splash in the 1990s, showed a nearly a 50% reduction in colon cancer with a daily preventive dose of just 200 micrograms of, I believe it was selenomethionine. And so selenium, it's a potent antioxidant. We know that antioxidants may retard the proliferation of free radicals that may damage the tissue and may set off cancer events, mutations in the DNA that can set cells off on a pathway towards wild and unrestricted growth. Resveratrol is also on the list of supplements that can be helpful. A recent animal study showed that resveratrol inhibits colon cancer development. And there's some evidence that vitamin E may play a role in colon cancer. And I recently, on one of my shows, I went over a study done a couple of years ago that was talking back to some of the information that suggests that vitamin E may not only not prevent cancer, but it may promote cancer. That's what some of the studies were saying. Well, studies were saying it's not helpful for heart disease. It may even promote cancer. So let's stop giving people vitamin E. And vitamin E sales took a dent. The problem with some of these studies is that they used alpha-tocopherol. And alpha-tocopherol may block valuable gamma-tocopherol and delta-tocopherol. It appears that when in nature you receive high doses of vitamin E, say from fresh whole grains or from foods like avocados that are rich in vitamin E, you're going to get a full spectrum of the different types of the isoforms of vitamin E. You know, alpha-tocopherol, delta-tocopherol, gamma-tocopherol. Gamma-tocopherol seems to be particularly valuable at prevention of cancer. So while some of the studies have been done with the form of artificial vitamin E, vitamin E succinate, I think that there is potential for vitamin E to have a preventive effect in colon cancer. So there I've summarized, I think, some of the important data about supplements that you can take. And, you know, look, everybody has their own favorite list, and I may have missed one or two. By the way, you know, things like carotenoids can be helpful, but I generally think that carotenoids can be obtained through fruits and vegetables in the diet. If you want, you could take a mixed carotenoid supplement. But diet and supplements, I think, are very important in the prevention and treatment of colon cancer. After all, we're dealing with a pipe through which food goes, and it stands to reason that what you eat and the supplements you take could influence the progression of this cancer. When people are taking supplements, I think you need to individualize the use of supplements if you're taking radiation or chemotherapy. There are some potentials for interference. Some people say don't worry at all, but I'm a little concerned about the mechanism of action of some of these drugs used for cancer and some of the radiation modalities, that there could be some possible interference. So you may want to refer to Lise Alschuler's book, The Definitive Guide to Cancer. Her name is spelled A-L-S-C-H-U-L-E-R. She is an oncologic specialist with a naturopathic degree, but very, very accomplished and a great researcher, and a very fact-based assessment of which supplements are desirable to use with various types of chemo radiation modalities, as well as which ones should be avoided. Although the research is in its infancy on this, it's not entirely clear that we have all the answers. You can find her book wherever good books are sold, and I've interviewed her on this program. I consider her a go-to person on the cancer front. The other point that I would make is in secondary prevention of colon cancer, where you want to make sure it doesn't come back, or if you have colon cancer that has spread and you're fighting colon cancer, it's in your body, you know it's metastasized, Intravenous vitamin C is something that I would recommend, and I've used it in a fair number of patients who have colon cancer, and I think we've really slowed their disease progression and improved their quality of life. I'm not going to tell you that it's a standalone therapy that vanquishes cancer miraculously. I think once you get to advanced metastatic colon cancer, it's challenging to treat it. You have to draw on all the resources you can, nutritional as well as conventional, to achieve a remission. But intravenous vitamin C at a dose of 25, 50, 75, or even higher, depending on the patient's tolerance, is something that I would recommend. This is something that's not generally administered conventional doctor's settings or at hospitals, but complementary physicians embrace this. And I've discussed this subject with in a podcast recently with Dr. Jeannie Drisco. You can look that up at drhoffman.com. So I think that's about all that we want to cover on the subject of colon cancer treatment and prevention. And feel free to send us your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com if we've left anything out. Otherwise, I'm signing off for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.